Success always starts with God's Word. Pastors Glenn and Esther Nurse presents this inspirational teaching as they share with you some of the rich truths that have profoundly and dramatically affected their lives. Join them now as we receive from God's Word.
We are in a spiritual battle. If you didn't know it last week, you probably experienced it this week. But we told ya. Hope you listened to the online podcast because that would have helped you this week as it was intended to help you this week. But we're in a spiritual battle every single day. We don't get a day off. There is no holiday from this spiritual battle that we're in because it's a battle that is happening in our hearts.
Yep.
Right? It happens in our minds. It's happening in society. It's our culture. It's our nation. Yeah. It's our world. There's this war going on where God is trying to draw people towards himself. And the devil is trying to steal us away from God.
Yeah.
It's a war that's going on every day. God is trying to free us and heal us and give us a future and a hope. And here's the devil coming in trying to kill, steal and destroy from us.
Yeah.
We are in a spiritual battle.
Yeah. And we've learned that we have been given authority over some evil spirits. That's right.
That's right.
I was testing you from last week over all evil spirits. And that includes Satan himself. He's an evil spirit, right?
Yeah.
He was dethroned, defrocked, detaken out. He was taken out and you've been given authority in Jesus Christ and his victory, Jesus' victory. And we received that authority the moment we were born again.
Yep.
The moment we were born again and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Whether we realise it or not, it was given unto us.
Yeah.
It was given unto us. If we don't know about it, we can't access it.
Yeah.
Just simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what is sad is most of the churches don't realise the authority they've been given in the name of Jesus. And that's half the problem we've had in Sydney, that people don't stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, stop.
That's right.
Jesus' name. So we're going to go there again, devil.
Yeah.
You want to give us a hard week, we come at you again in Jesus' name.
We hit the jackpot the moment we were born again. We got spiritual authority. And the cornerstone of that authority, the foundation, the basis of it, is found in Jesus.
Yes.
It's all because of Jesus and what Jesus did for us. And in Galatians 4, verse 7, it says, now we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. So who are God's very own sons and daughters?
Put your hand up for your son or daughter.
Yes,
you are.
And because... And because we are his, or because we are his sons and daughters, we can access everything.
Yes.
Not just some things. We can access everything our Father has. For we are heirs because of what he has done. Sonny's tool shed, his children can access everything, right? Why? Because he is their father, and they have access. Now, he may help them with that, but that's... His kids aren't slaves, and we are no longer slaves who inherit nothing. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty God. We have access to everything that the Father has. We are heirs. We inherit. We are beneficiaries. We are recipients, legatees, and successors of everything that God has for mankind. We inherited the authority of Jesus. That's powerful. That took resurrection power to break through into the earth, and we get to inherit God's authority, not from what we've done, or not done, but all because of what Jesus has done for us. But if we don't know about it, if we're untaught, if we're unskilled, it's useless. We don't know what we've got. It's like having money in the bank account and not knowing that it's in there. You can stand at the checkout thinking, I've got no money to pay for my groceries, and all the money's in the bank account. It's just not in your wallet. It's the same with your authority. You can get it if you know that you have it.
Yeah. And I'll bounce off the sunny shed thing, all right?
Okay.
So, yes, his children have access to everything in his shed, but I am sure there are some tools that are on a high shelf because they're not mature enough yet to handle that. And that's the same with God. You might be sitting here thinking, well, if I've got access to everything God has, God's like, yeah, but you is too. So we're going to wait till you can handle that power tool before I let you have it. So yes, you have an heir. Yes, you have an access, but there's a maturity that's got to come so that God can entrust you with certain things that are available to you. But here's the thing about authority. It is a legal right or a delegated power. Right? It's something that's given to you. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's Jesus who earned it for you. And he gives it to us. We looked at a police example. A police officer is a great example, right? Of delegated authority. A police officer enforces the laws of our land. Because who knows, a law is only as good as it is enforced. Yeah. I mean to say, if there was no police officer there, how many people would really obey the speed limit? Let's be honest, nobody would obey it. Pastor G would, yeah. But there might be other laws. You might think, well, that bottle of perfume looks nice, nobody's going to care if I steal it, and you'd put it in your pocket. Right? So a law is only as good, it's only a law if it's enforced. Because if there were no police officers enforcing the laws of our nation, then guess what? The devil wouldn't obey, and you wouldn't obey. So a law is only a law if it's enforced, right? So the law of God is the Bible, right? It's a written law, isn't it? The Bible is God's word. It's what God has for us. But God's word is just a book with words unless you enforce it.
Yeah.
Unless you stand on it and you demand what is yours in the word of God. That's exactly like a police officer. Our laws are written in Parliament. A police officer comes along and says, hey, Parliament says it's 60 here. You better pull over if you're not doing 60. We need to do that with the word of God, stand in our authority and say, hey, God's word says I have this, and we enforce it in our lives. Basically, use it or lose it. It's up to you, right? It's just written words. Unless you take God's word, you speak it out your mouth and you make the devil obey God's word, because he is a thief who will steal, kill and destroy. He has no regard for God's word. That's your job is to enforce it.
Yeah, so true. So all authority was given to Jesus, right?
Yep.
When he rose again, all authority was given to Jesus. And Jesus is now seated in that authority in heaven, right? We looked at that last week. But he's not seated alone, is he?
No. Nope.
Who is seated with him?
Us.
We are.
Yes, we are.
We are seated. We are seated with him now. He's not alone seated in heaven. The scriptures tells us that we are seated with him. Now, we don't deserve to be seated with him. We didn't earn the ability to be seated with him. We are seated with him because of what he did. We are seated there because we are heirs. We inherited that authority to be able to sit in heavenly places with Jesus. So, in other words, Jesus has done everything he is ever going to do for you. He has done a complete work, and he is gone, and he is seated in heaven. It is now up to you to take that authority and to use that authority. It's not up to Pastor E to use it for you. It's not up to your husband or your wife to use it for you, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your bestie, your roommate. No. Your authority, you use it.
Yeah.
You've got the power, you use the power. It's now up to you to take authority. Jesus won it for you. He put the enemy under your feet. Okay? You are the one who has to enforce it against the enemy. Ephesians 3:10 says this. The purpose of this, or in other words, the purpose of the authority that we've been given, was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic order in the heavenly realm God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through
the church.
Oh,
that's interesting.
So where's God's full and diverse wisdom revealed?
The
through the church. In your bedroom?
No.
In your workplace?
No.
Through the church. Wisdom isn't always simply black and white, is it?
No.
It's divine and it is diverse. In other words, it'll work one way in this situation and it'll work another way in that situation. So how do you know what Bible verse to apply to what situation? Because the Bible is full of wisdom, isn't it?
Yeah.
What wisdom do you use? Do I use the wisdom that I got off YouTube?
No.
Or what dysfunctional friend told me over there? Or what I heard in church? Should I walk away or should I give mercy in a situation? Should I bind and loose or should I accept the closed door that's before me? Should I surrender to this attack or should I fight this attack? We need the full and diverse wisdom of God to be able to know. The Bible tells us in this verse that God's full and diverse wisdom is revealed through His church. If you're not in His church, how are you ever going to access His full and diverse wisdom?
Yeah.
Where's it found?
In the church.
Yeah. Where does it get revealed?
In the church.
That's right.
Yeah.
Life is seldom black and white. We need God's full and diverse wisdom to how to use the Word of God, and it's revealed in the church. Church matters, folks.
Yes, it does.
It's not just something we do. Church is vital to our future.
Yeah. Especially a Holy Spirit-led church. Because Holy Spirit will tell you in church what you're going to need for the week of the head.
Week ahead. Amen.
That's a prophetic church.
Yeah.
So many people come and say, did somebody tell you, Pastor? I'm like, no. God just knows what you're going to face the week
That's
ahead.
Right.
So God will give you divine wisdom. So if we're speaking on mercy, guess what you're going to need that week?
Mercy.
If we're speaking on take your authority, guess what you're going to need in the week ahead?
Take your authority.
So who would want to know? I want a heads up. Because I look at situations and go, do I give compassion or do I say, hey, enough? I need to know. That's a little strong.
I don't like surprises.
And you know what I find amazing? One of the biggest lies of my generation is that you don't need to be in church.
Right.
Just you and Jesus, you and YouTube. There's great speakers out there, and I'm all for hearing great speakers.
Yeah.
I love it. I listen to Bishop. I listen to some of the greats all the time. You know what? But I still know I need to be in church. I need a family of warriors around me.
Yeah.
I need wisdom for the week ahead. In church, I hear wisdom to know what to apply.
That's right.
Because Holy Spirit speaks through to church, Jesus' bride. Hebrews 10 says this, in the Passion Translation, verse 25, it says, this is not the time to pull away or neglect meeting together, as some have formed a habit of doing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we should come together more frequently, either to encourage and urge one another, each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. Listen, the days we live in, we need church more than ever, especially in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in Sydney right now. And this is why the devil works so hard to keep people out of church, because he knows ignorance makes an easy target. Oh, my people perish for a lack of
knowledge.
Not because they don't have the power and authority, they don't know how to use it.
No.
That's why they perish.
Yeah.
So he knows ignorance is an easy target. He knows self-wisdom is an easy defeat. And let me tell you, the devil's been trying to even scare people out of church.
Yes.
Oh, that bishop got stabbed in church. Maybe church isn't safe. Maybe don't go. He's trying to make us cower in fear. You will not cause us to cower in fear, devil.
No.
We will worship our Jesus
the
more in Jesus' name. We're not afraid of the enemy. Or what about that Bondi guy? He went to church. That's why we need to know who we are in Christ. That's why we need to stand up. We need to call the police. We need to obey the Lord. But we also need to pray. And we also need to stand and say, devil, not in my city. Put that knife down in Jesus' name. I'd at least have a go. Amen? You can't bind the devil too much. Just bind him and give him a 1-2 anyway. Heck, he gives me enough of a hard time. How about this one? Oh, church is important, but family first. Well, where's that in the Bible? My Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. These are the lies that keep people out of church. We've made children an idol. An idol is simply an Old Testament word for anything that we put above God.
That's right.
And I know I'm preaching hard and straight, but it's true, church. We live in a society where the children have become the idol instead of Jesus being number one. And then there's the lie, pastors can be wrong. Pastors can be wrong. Absolutely they can be wrong.
Definitely.
You know what? But remember, they are wrong in decision, but they are right in position. Keep that in your heart. Keep that in your heart. And for me, I'm not the one who puts up or puts down. God is the one who puts up and puts down. So God will deal with those situations. Yeah. We trust God with those things. Don't usurp authority. Because what did the man, the Roman centurion who came to Jesus, he said, I am a man under authority, therefore I know, just say the word and it'll come. Amen. So to the degree that you are under authority and surrendered to authority is the degree that God will give you authority. Hmm. Amen. It's really important because Satan usurped it and look where it got him, right? So Jesus redeemed all power and all authority and gave it to his church. In Jesus' name, so be in church. Be in church. It's very important. You know what the week's coming up. God will begin to speak to his church. We're the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
What husband wouldn't say, honey, watch out when you go shopping this week. Just be careful. The Holy Spirit is like that. He's going to speak to the bride and say, bride, this week's coming up. You need to know this. Because Holy Spirit is so good.
So true.
There's an authority in the church in Jesus' name, and there's an authority that you cannot get on your own. There is an authority that comes together when we stand together as warriors. We stood together as warriors over our sick children this week. Yes. We linked arms and we said, not our maxi kids in the name of Jesus. And I know every parent in the room was glad that there was warriors around their children to not have to fight the battle alone.
That's right.
That's what God's called us to do, to be warriors who link arms and go, you know, we don't go, oh, well, poor Mandy's child. No, we link in and go, how dare you touch Benji in Jesus' name. And the warriors come around. I want that. I wanted that when I felt sick myself. I want my warriors around going, no, our Pastor E, she is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need a church family in agreement to win. Yeah. I'm enjoying this message. Devil gave me a hard time. Gave me a hard time this week. I'm like, well.
Give a hard time back up.
Yeah.
Now, to understand the absolute fullness of what we've obtained in Jesus, we must understand that the Bible talks about three heavens.
Yep.
Now, Paul made mention of this in 2 Corinthians. He says this, someone I'm acquainted with who is in union with Christ was swept away 14 years ago in an ecstatic experience. He was taken into the third heaven. But I am not sure if he was in his body or out of his body. Only God knows. Yeah. So here's the thing. If Paul's talking about the third heaven, hello, there must be a first heaven and a second heaven, or else he wouldn't be talking about a third heaven, right? So let's explain it. The first heaven the Bible talks about is the earthly atmosphere. Okay? It's where we live. Angels come here on assignment and they return from assignment. The devil and all his cohorts are here in the first heaven. And most importantly, in the time we live right now, the Holy Spirit is here in the first heaven with us.
Yep.
Now, the second heaven that the Bible speaks about is outer space. We call that the universe. And that's the moon, the stars, all the planets, the Milky Way, all that sort of stuff. That's the second heaven. So the first heaven is the earth and the atmosphere. The second heaven is the outer space, the universe. And the third heaven that the Bible talks about is the dwelling place of God. So in Genesis 1:1, where the Bible says God created the heaven and the earth, it's talking about the first and second heavens. God created those from his dwelling place. Yes. So he created the first heaven, which is?
Earth.
The earth.
Yep.
That's right. And he created the second heaven, which is?
Space.
The universe.
Yep.
That's right. Third heaven, Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12, refers to paradise or God's abode, the dwelling place of Almighty God. So do we understand that now? Three heavens the Bible talks about, and that's what they mean.
Can I say too, you know what is very interesting? The first time they went to the moon back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Neil Armstrong, back in the 60s. Do you know what they said? They remarked that on the moon there was no evil atmosphere and there was no demonic presence on the moon like when they came back to Earth. And every one of those, from my understanding, they got saved when they came back.
Did.
Because they could tell the difference of being in the first heavens where the devil and all the demons are to the moon where he's not. Different atmosphere.
Different atmosphere.
That was for free, that's just by the way.
Anyone want a day trip to the moon with me?
Yeah. Yeah. Have a break.
You don't want to come, Derek? Oh, yeah, come with me. We go to the moon and back. So with the thought in mind of the three heavens, we're going to look at what John wrote in Revelations 12:9. And it says this, "Then a terrible war," not an insignificant war, "a terrible war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the great dragon." They didn't just sit back and accept what was happening. They fought a great dragon. "The dragon and his angels fought back." Hello, Satan's going to fight back when you fight him. "But the dragon did not have the power to win." Why? Because God is more powerful than the dragon. God is more powerful than the enemy, and they could not regain their place in heaven. Bottom line, they lost the war that they started, all right?
You know what's fascinating about this, right? There was a war in heaven. Right? And here we are in church going, oh, everyone's just perfect. There's no issues or things like that. Well, if there was a war in heaven, sometimes there's a war in church. People come with their twos and their attitudes and all of this, and there's a bit of a war. So what do? Lay down? No. You deal with it. We've got scripture to deal with.
That's right.
Right?
People saying, my family's so dysfunctional because we fight all the time. Hello, there was a war in heaven. There's a war in your family.
You got to deal
with it. That's right. Let's continue. All right. So the great dragon was thrown down once and for all. He wasn't given a second chance to do it. No. He was thrown down once and for all. He was a serpent, the ancient snake, called the devil and Satan. That's pretty clear. We know who we're talking about here.
Yep.
The serpent is the devil and Satan, who deceives what? The whole earth. He was cast down into earth, or he was cast down into the first heaven, and his angels along with him. So the Apostle John is telling us in these verses in Revelation that Satan's authority has now been limited to just one place. Satan's authority has been limited to the first heaven, to the earthly atmosphere.
Yeah. And you know, it's fascinating. The Bible talks about Old Testament saints talking about they wish they live in our day. That's amazing, isn't it? Like Abraham, those going, wow, imagine living in the new covenant. Imagine like being in Maximized Church today. He was looking ahead thinking, wowzers, that's pretty awesome. Why? Because you know what? In the Old Testament, the only weapon the saints had back then was asking or fasting. That's all they had. They did not have the covenant of Jesus. Jesus hadn't come. Jesus hadn't died. Jesus hasn't won the victory and handed them the authority. Jesus hadn't died on the cross. He hadn't been risen again. The Old Testament saints, they had not been given the right to be seated in heavenly places. It's for us. We be special. We've been given authority that the Bible says all those Old Testament greats, and we go, wow. They looked at us and go, wow. We've got to walk in what God's given us. Amen. Yeah.
Special, aren't we?
We are special.
We're special sort of people.
We're special.
Peculiar people. We've got what they didn't have. But in past times, Satan was allowed to go before the throne of God, and he was allowed to accuse the saints there. He could enter the third heaven, but now Satan cannot enter the third heaven. Jesus' blood changed all of that. Jesus' blood shut the door of his ability to do that. The pure righteousness that Jesus bought sealed the door to him. Satan cannot enter that place anymore. Satan has no right and no power to enter heaven. And we have become righteous to God in Jesus.
Yeah.
So when God looks at you, he doesn't see you, he sees you wrapped in Jesus. Yeah. That's how God sees you from heaven. So because of the way God sees you, it would be of no use for Satan to go into heaven, into the throne room, and start to accuse you, because God would look down and he would see you wrapped, encased in Jesus. So he can no longer accuse us to God because of what Jesus has done for us.
Jesus finished sin once and for all. You know, until Jesus died, if you were a believer, you went to Abraham's bosom. You didn't go to heaven. You couldn't go to heaven, or you'd contaminate heaven. Sin hadn't been dealt with. But when Jesus died, he went down into the pit of hell. He took the keys of sin and death, and he said, that's why he said, don't touch me at the grave, because he had to go up to heaven. He put his blood on the mercy seat. Then all of Abraham's bosom could go in under the blood of Jesus Christ. So when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Who's glad about that? Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad.
It's a bit of an eschatology lesson.
It is,
isn't it?
It is. Satan looks at you and sees Jesus, right? So maybe I remember all the sin that I did, but I have a Father in heaven who forgives. It's the blood. It's the blood, right? That's what God sees when he looks at us, the blood. So the devil is now limited and can only work in the first heaven, earth's atmosphere. But he's still an accuser.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He accuses you. He can't accuse you to God. He's got no right to accuse you to God. So what is he going to do? He's going to come to your thoughts and go, you're just no good. You're nothing. You're useless. What do you know? Why don't you give up? You can't make it. But I want to tell you something I've learned. And this is important. You need to get a hold of this. When you say, I'm just going to quit, it's too much, I'm going to quit, you need to know that is the first step to the door of suicide. It is an open door for the enemy. And let me tell you, that's a fast escalator down. We get confused sometimes in church, and we think sin is don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, right? Those things are not great, but you know what? God is dealing with the heart, the heart issue. So when we live righteously, when we live and obey God's laws, it's not going to make us get merits or be better with God. Jesus has done it all.
That's right.
What it does is it shuts the door to the enemy, right? So living righteously closes access to the accuser, closes a door for him to come in. So when you get those thoughts of, I want to quit, I can't do this, we've got to nail them to the cross and shut that door, or the devil will take you right down to suicide. Because he's here to kill, steal and destroy. God is more interested in our bad attitudes, our selfishness, our quitting, our those kind of things, than he is to don't drink, smoke or cheat or steal. They're all outworkings of a heart issue. God's interested in the heart. So you need to know the enemy accuses you, accuses your mind, but he has no right to say that. So when he comes and he says, you want to quit, you say, don't tell me, tell Jesus. Jesus is the one. I'm under the blood. I've got the blood on me. And you take that stance to every accusation of the enemy.
Here's a hint. You might feel like quitting this week.
Yeah.
Remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I usually go through it first, let me tell you. I get the bugs in my teeth. We'll learn that song next. Maybe I remember all the things that I did, but I've got a Father in heaven who forgives. It's the blood. It's the blood. I got the blood on me. That's how we've got to view life. We've got to view life. Because the leopard hasn't changed his spots.
No,
and the biggest door he accuses you is in your mind, in your thoughts.
The battleground.
I'm not saying you should drink, smoke, sleep around, but we've made them the big sins instead of realizing the open doors can be in our thought life. They can be in our attitudes, in our selfishness, in our failures, in those kind of things. They are bigger doors.
Yeah.
Why do we don't drink, smoke and sleep around? Because we're trying to shut every door we can.
That's right.
But it's not enough. You've got to deal with your attitudes. You've got to deal with the don't quit. You've got to deal with those things, because they're still open doors. Because the devil is defeated and he can only get into you to what you open him to do.
That's right.
So when you sense that, we all get thoughts of temptation. Being tempted is not a sin. It's what you do with it. So when you get those things and you realise, sometimes we're a bit slow on the uptake. Hey, we're just like, oh, yeah. And then we go, hang on. Stand up and say, in the name of Jesus,
no.
I want to tell you, devil, when you look at me, you see Jesus. And if Jesus has called me, then I ain't quitting. That's how you deal with the devil.
That's right.
You don't have to accept thoughts just because you think them.
That's right.
Yeah. So true.
Shut the door.
Yeah.
I've developed my mind so much sometimes that if I'm having a bad dream, I will wake up and my mind will say, no, you're not dreaming that.
No.
You've got to shut those doors because that's how the enemy gets in. You don't have to accept them. You are in right standing with Jesus and he cannot accuse you before God. He'll lie to you and tell you he can. Go, God don't love you no more. What a liar.
Right?
Such a liar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So if you hear God doesn't love you, you straight up go, you liar. He loved Jesus, so he loves me. That's the end of the story. That's what I'm talking about. The devil just tries to get us to accept his lies so that he can get in. As soon as we accept a lie of the enemy, he's got power over us. As soon as we reject it, and what do? A law is only as good as it is enforced. Yeah. So when you're sick, you don't go, oh, yeah, it's really bad. I'm really sick and, I'm just not going to make it. No, you stand up and go, by his stripes I am healed. And you start standing on the word.
Right.
You're feeling down. You say, well, my Bible says faith, hope and love will remain.
Yeah.
Everything else will pass away, but faith, hope and love will remain. So hope is mine because I am in Jesus. So whatever you're facing, you enforce the word of God into that situation.
Right.
I'm defeated. I'm never going to wake it. No, my Bible says I am an overcomer. And you start enforcing that word. You start declaring that word over your life. Church, we are alive and we get to live in the mystery that Paul spoke about.
Yeah.
But we've got this massive bank account and most people don't know the PIN code.
Yeah.
We're giving you the PIN code today and it is in the name of Jesus. When those thoughts come, you stand and you punch them down.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've got to battle. Do you know Pastor G and I had to battle a devil till 5 a.m. this morning. So I haven't had a lot of sleep, so the devil's getting it, I tell you. And sometimes you've got to battle. You got to battle. It's real. It is real. The spiritual realm is more real than the things we can touch, taste, or see. This, everything we see here came out of God. It came out of the spiritual realm and manifested on earth. But we forget that. We get so carnal. We get so focused on what we can touch, see, and feel instead of realizing the word of God is the true word of God. We live right now in the redemptive authority of the name of Jesus. We should be conquering and dominion and overcoming in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We are alive in what has been given to the believer, the church of the living God. It is the name of Jesus that separates us from every other religion on the planet. There is no other religion on the planet where their guy has raised from the dead. Jesus is the only one who's resurrected. That's what makes us different. We have a living Savior. Jesus is the only one who has ever risen from the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead. Amen. And given all power and authority in Jesus' name.
Yeah, you said it.
Devil be coming at me, I'll come
in. Oh, yeah, I know. Philippians 2 says this. This is my life verse, so I'll do this part. Philippians 2 says this. God elevated him, Jesus, to the highest, to the place of highest honour and gave him what? The name above all other names. So that at the name of Jesus, some knees will bow.
Every.
At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Not will. It should. You've got to enforce.
Yep.
The name of Jesus, because they're not going to do it just because it's in the word. They're going to do it when you enforce it. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So when you use the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in all three heavens. Here on the earth, where we are, where Satan abides, where angels come and go, where the Holy Spirit is, it works here.
Yeah.
It works.
It works. In the second heaven, the whole universe, it works. In the abode, the living place of God, the third heaven, it works. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So as born-again believers, we have the power and authority in the name of Jesus. So as we honor the name of Jesus, as we exalt the name of Jesus, as we worship the name of Jesus and use what Jesus paid for, we get the power.
Yes.
We get the authority. We get to enforce the great gift that has been given to us.
Yes. And I love Ephesians. Paul says, in whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Mm. In other words, what we're doing in this natural realm with our natural voice, we are speaking in the second heaven and the third heaven. And the saints out that have gone before us, whenever we go into the throne room, like, hi, Abraham, hi, Moses, hi, Grandma, hi, Pops, how you going? You know, and I want to get to heaven and they go, we saw you, we saw you, we saw you up there. Or not like, oh, hi, my name is. Got me awkward. You want to make sure you're going in the throne room so the family in heaven knows who you are. Hopefully they know who Maxie is up there, right? I believe they do.
So you made it in without authority and power, didn't you?
Amazing. So we need to know, church, that God did not send his only son just so we'd get a ticket to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. And the devil can't change that once it's happened, but he will work hard to make sure you know and that's all you have.
Yep.
But God's got so much more. Jesus didn't even come just so we'd get goosebumps in church or at a prayer line or feel great in worship. They're all wonderful things. He didn't just come so we'd have something to do on Sunday. Do you want to know why he sent his son? Let's go to the verse. 1 John 3 verse 8. The Apostle John tells us the reason. The Son of God was revealed, was to undo and destroy the works of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't all for just when you get to heaven. The reason the Son of God, Jesus, was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. You do not have to live demonized. You do not have to live tormented with nightmares, with heaviness, with depression, with anxiety. You can stand on the word and say, Jesus was sent to me to undo and destroy the works of the devil over me, over my family, over my children, over my church, over my city in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, over Sydney, in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
We don't accept the evil work of the enemy over our city. We stand as a church that says no, devil, in the name of Jesus. Peace over our city. Peace over our churches. Peace over our families. We declare it from the heavenly realm. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. So everything Jesus did, he did to undo and destroy Satan's work in your life. How cool is that? When I got a hold of that, I'm like, I don't have to live heavy and depressed.
Right.
I don't have to live tormented or worried. I don't have to have nightmares. And if they come and they're tempted, I can stand up and say, no. We have the right, church, to live in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, compassion. They are ours in Christ. But listen, a thief knows it's against the law to steal. But if you don't shut the door, he will come in and steal, right? Why do you lock your door at home? Why not just leave it open and go, hey, anybody passing by, just pop on in, you know, like, I'm going to be asleep. Help yourself. Take the TV. Take the couch. No, we don't. We shut the door.
Shut the door.
Why? Because we worked hard for that TV and couch and that coffee machine. And we value it, right? So we have to be the same with what God has done in our life. We have to value what Jesus did. That's why we're singing, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, right? Yeah, we're valuing what Jesus did. When we tell the devil no, we're saying we value what you did, Jesus. But if we let the devil just run our lives, make us depressed, run all over us, we're not valuing what Jesus did. We're leaving the front door open and letting the enemy empty our house. Don't do it. So shut the door, because he will try. If you don't shut the door in Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah, he'll try. Don't think just because you're nice to him, he'll stop.
Oh, ignoring him don't work.
Does not work. But God's desire for his people, so God's desire for you, is to rise up and to live in the freedom, the peace, the joy, and the love that Jesus has already paid for.
Yes.
God wants you to take your God-given authority in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And use it against the enemy.
Yep.
Use it against Satan. Use it against that serpent that was thrown down to the earthly heaven. Stop him from stealing. Don't accept the fact that he's stealing from you. Stop the enemy from stealing. Imply the word of God to your situation and stop him.
Mm.
He has to stop in Jesus' name. Stop him from stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in your city, in your nation. Rise up into what God's got for you. Don't sit quietly and accept it. Oh, I just can't do that today. The devil will eat you for breakfast.
It'll get worse.
The devil will start throwing everything he can at you to destroy you. New Testament believers are not meant to be weak and defeated.
No.
That was not what Jesus has paid for. We are to be victorious.
Yeah.
We have been given all power and all authority in Jesus' name, but it is useless if you will not use it.
Yeah. So good. So good. And you know what happens? Sometimes we forget and we just spiral down. We just get caught and then we think, oh, it's too late now. It is never too late.
Never too late.
It is never too late. If all you can say is, Jesus, then Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you start saying the name of Jesus and you come up and out. We all get caught sometimes. We all get caught and we're busy, we're doing this and that, and we realize we've accepted something. But as soon as you realize you've accepted something that's not in the word, go, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
No, in Jesus' name. And start standing in that name. So as we close, Maximize Church, we need to know that we are God's anointed representatives on earth.
Yeah.
You, all of us, are seated in heavenly places. And as a church, I don't care our number size, I care our spiritual size, that we declare and we take authority in the realm over our city, and we declare that Sydney will be at peace in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That people will be safe in their churches. Yes. That people will be safe shopping.
Yeah.
People will be safe shopping. We're never against people. We're never against people. Our fight is not with people, no matter their background, no matter their faith, no matter their beliefs.
That's right.
We're not against people. We don't have authority over anyone else's will. We've been given authority over demons and over Satan and ourselves, but not other people. Ephesians 6 says this, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. Not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. So I'm going to stand in the name of Jesus, and this is why, church, we need Holy Spirit. I am so glad that Holy Spirit has had us teaching these for the past few weeks, because we didn't know what was going to happen in Sydney, but Holy Spirit did know. So he's telling us as a church, we need to take authority in the spiritual realm over our community, not over people. We're not against Muslims. We're not against other faiths. We're against demons and we're against Satan.
That's right.
That's where our wrestle is. Everybody has a free will and a free choice. Jesus says in Matthew 22, as Christians, we're called to love God first and our neighbor, saved or unsaved. It doesn't just say love saved people. It says love your neighbor. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is unselfishly seeking the best or higher good for others. The whole law, the written word of God, and the writings of the prophet depend on these two commandments. What's God saying here? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbor of yourself, you've fulfilled every commandment. That's pretty easy. You know, we get out the Ten Commandments, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. No, 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 just love God with all that's within you and your neighbour of yourself, and you've fulfilled the law. So love God first. But here's the thing. It says love your neighbour as yourself, and I want to tell you something. If you don't love God first, that's impossible.
Yeah, true.
Even when you're married, it's hard to love your spouse first, isn't it? And you love them, you know. And God's saying, love everybody with that love. Well, that's only done when you love God with all your heart, soul, that's mind, right, and strength. Otherwise, it's not possible. So we've got to use our believers' authority to protect our lives, our families, yes, our cities. We use that to protect them from the enemy called the devil, not people. The enemy called the devil. Let's use our delegated authority and destroy these works. It's all yours in Jesus. So I want you to go this week knowing, church, you have the right to have freedom. You have a right and a freedom to have joy,
yep,
to have love, to have peace, to have patience, to have kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, hope, righteousness in Jesus. If any of those things are lacking in your life, I want you to bind the devil. Take authority in the name of Jesus and say, no, joy is my portion.
That's right.
No, peace is my portion. No, I'm angry, kindness is my portion. No, I'm getting annoyed, patience is my portion. I bind you, devil. I bind you, spirit of frustration. And you bind those things and you take your authority. It's all yours in Christ. So you got to know it and stand in what Jesus did for you today. Amen.
Remember, success always starts with God's Word. Empower your life with resources by Glenn and Esther Nurse. All audio and video are copyrighted in their entirety. Compliance with copyright laws remains your responsibility.